Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Of course, many, many, many big things are happening in the nation's capital as we are just really days away from the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump, but a lot of action on Capitol Hill. Scott Parkinson has been keeping an eye on it. Scott, good to have you here.
Always great to be with you, Loman. Thank you.
Just a few days ago, President-elect Trump did sit down with U.S. senators. They huddled. There's been a lot of discussion now as to getting the Trump agenda enacted and enacted quickly, a bit of discussion as to one reconciliation bill or two reconciliation bills. First of all, Scott, what is a reconciliation bill?
It's a great question. People are going to really start to hear about that term even more because of the intense scrutiny that the Trump administration is going to be taking on. And if you dial it all the way back to the Budget Act of 1974, it basically provided, so-called fast-track legislative vehicle to getting things done. But it has to be budgetary in nature. It has to deal with revenues or with federal spending or with the debt limit. And then there's also a lot of precedent in the United States Senate on exactly what counts as something that is dealing with the budget compared to a big policy agenda. So what I think you're going to see the Trump administration trying to do is maneuver what's known as the Byrd rule and get really some big ticket items passed through the Congress with only Republican votes. The budget reconciliation bill is really technical, and as you navigate the process, there's going to be a real apprehension from some senators that I would probably term to be a part of the swamp or part of the uniparty that are going to say, well, we can't do that because that's basically like threatening the legislative filibuster. We've heard similar talk out of John Thune already, the new Republican leader in the United States Senate. But the issue here is whether Trump can actually deliver with Republicans in a slim majority of the House and the Senate, and then avoid Chuck Schumer and the Democrats blocking his agenda. He has said that he wants to have a legislative package delivered quickly and dealing with the border situation and really illegal immigration. So if you're going to do that, right, you could do that in a way where you're going to provide money for, you know, a wall and border patrol agents and deportations, and, you know, make it merely a bill that the parliamentarian of the Senate considers to be budgetary in nature. But there's going to be, appeals and a process that unfolds that slows it all down. And the question is, can they actually pass an immigration bill without attaching other items to sort of assuage concerns from other members and actually get things signed into law? Some members of Congress want to see the tax cuts extended, right? Tax policy is a big, big issue. And as we've been navigating the question of higher cost of living and inflation, some people say, well, the immediate relief we can give people is to make sure that their taxes don't go up and that we extend the Trump tax cuts from 2017. So in Washington, there's been this big debate behind the scenes and a little bit in the media on, is there going to be one reconciliation bill that moves very quickly in like the first 30 days that deals with those border situations? Or is there going to be two bills, and, you know, you have the tax cuts that happen later on? You remember in 2017, we failed in repealing Obamacare, and 9 months later, we got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act signed into law in, I think, December of 2017. So it's important for the American people to kind of recognize, number one, reconciliation is a pretty basic and standard way for a new administration to put points on the board and get things done. Joe Biden used reconciliation twice in his only term in office, obviously, and he did it first to do that big Biden stimulus bill. So he was thinking, how do we inject all this federal spending into the economy? And that's what actually caused inflation to happen. You remember we had this 40-year high when inflation was hovering around 10, 9%. And I think that Trump is obviously going to continue that precedent because our budget reconciliation bill has been utilized by every president since the Budget Act of 1974. So it's not going to be like this brand new thing that's never happened before. Obamacare, for example, got signed into law through budget reconciliation. The Bush tax cuts from 2001, those happened through reconciliation. It is kind of the norm now in Washington to say, what can we do on the budget and spending side for revenues and for federal outlays that is actually part of the electoral mandate?
Another area where President Trump has been very outspoken in recent weeks, creating a lot of interest and controversy, he's talked about the United States acquiring Greenland, perhaps taking over the Panama Canal, even thrown out making Canada the 51st state. Is he serious about those issues, or is this somewhat of a diversionary tactic?
Coincidentally, Justin Trudeau is no longer the Prime Minister of Canada, right? He announced his resignation. I think that he is serious. And, you know, if you even dial it all the way back to the first term, Trump talked about acquiring Greenland then. And, you know, it's something that I think has been on sort of the top of mind when it comes to acquiring a large piece of land that contains a ton of natural resources. And there's some national security levers that I think are at stake as well. Trump, in talking about the Panama Canal and Canada, he's basically throwing things up against the board, and it's similar to a posture that we've, you know, had in the past from people like Pat Buchanan, right? You're trying to avoid national security issues that aren't immediate to the homeland. And ending forever wars is a big part of America First and MAGA. On the other hand, do we actually try to increase the size and scope of the United States of America by purchasing additional territories and sort of using our economic levers to do so? Trump has been a little coy in terms of how serious he is on it. I think he's serious. I think that it's actually an interesting idea to look at Greenland and the lack of population, but really the enormous amount of resources that it could bring into our economy.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
The club is based out of Washington, D.C., and we're this economic organization that's united in freedom, liberty, and opportunity. You can sign up and become a member of Club for Growth for free at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll check in with you next week. Thank you.
You're welcome.